The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. King Herod heard about Jesus, for his fame had become widespread, and people were saying, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why mighty powers are at work in him." Others were saying, "He is Elijah." Still others, "He is a prophet like any other of the prophets." But when Herod learned of it, he said, "It is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised up." Herod was the one who had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he had heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. Herodias had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. His own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask of me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you." He even swore many things to her. "I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even to half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" Her mother replied, "The head of John the Baptist." The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. "I want you to give me at once, on a platter, the head of John the Baptist." The king was deeply distressed. But because of his oaths and the guests, he did not wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl in turn gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. Today and yesterday, and the Gospel especially, we've had opportunity to witness the gruesome brutality that falls upon us as disciples of our Lord, as followers who strive to love God. Yesterday, if you remember, we had St. Agatha, in the year 251, martyred. She was a young lady, again, 19, maybe 20 years old. One of the ways they tortured her was that they severed her breasts. So when you see iconography of Agatha, you'll see this means of torture. Or today, St. Paul Miki and their 25 companions crucified in Nagasaki. Watch those two witnesses. In the year 251, Agatha died. St. Paul Miki and their companions died in 1597. 1800 years separate these two. And united by the Lord. And then John the Baptist, beheaded. Brutal. The beheading, the torture of Agatha, and the crucifixion of Paul Miki and those 25 companions, Even though we see those and that's what stays in our memory, but what's unseen, if you can imagine, the countless hours of prayer, the little sacrifices that John the Baptist, that Agatha, that Palmiki made every single day, the little fastings, the little acts of patience, of kindness, or of them when they needed to get up in the morning, they were so tired, they didn't want to go to Mass maybe, they didn't want to pray their prayers, they didn't want to read their scriptures, but they made the little sacrifice and they pushed themselves. All the little sacrifices that make up the mundane tasks of the Christian life. In a similar way, in an analogous way, so this Sunday will be the biggest sporting event in our country. We'll all gather together, eat ribs, we eat bad food, and gladly so. It's a celebration, it's fun. Millions of us in front of a television, and we'll watch two teams battle it out at their best. And we'll watch it and watch the spectacle of it all, and we'll enjoy it. But what we don't see are the years of practice that these men endured. Probably playing football since there were little kids running around. You ever see the little kids playing, I don't know what you call it, a little football where the little kids with the big helmets are just running around? For decades, they practiced and practiced all the little mundane tasks and what it is to be an NFL football player. We don't see any of that. What we see is the game-winning touchdown. That run on third down, which the first down at a critical part of the game. We see that game-winning field goal and we cheer. But we don't see, now going back to the saints, the hidden interior life. There's no fanfare. No one is around to see it. And that's intimacy. That's what allowed these saints to endure what they did. On this first Friday, we will have Eucharistic Adoration all the way to the evening Mass. And I want to invite all of us to incorporate into our daily spiritual regimen moments of silence. St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, many of the great heavyweights, the champions of our faith, say, the Christian, if they really want to become saints, needs to spend at least 20 minutes a day in silence. 20 minutes a day. That, my friends, will give us the strength and the power to endure what John the Baptist did, Agatha, and Palmiki. The hidden interior life.